This is for the Children Education Minister, 2CEM1, Room 202. It's about classroom disciple tips for preschool and elementary grades. It's a Pastor Chomer. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this workshop. It's for the disciple and classroom management tips. So let's welcome our speaker, Pastor Thomas. Is here. Yeah.
My wife told me to take pictures.
Okay. And Pastor Thomas, I need your help to...
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. I'm Tolman, and I've been a children's pastor for 35 years, and before that I was in business, and I made a lot of money when I was young, and then, but I wasn't happy, the Lord said, but I actually was in children's ministry since I was in high school, so that's over 50 years ago, okay, and I wasn't happy in business, so the Lord says, well, why don't you just go full-time into children's ministry? And then so later on in life, well, 35 years old, I went into children's ministry. So this is my home church. This is the church in Chinatown. There's a big church there, about 2,000 people. I grew with that church. I remember when the children's department, when we were 25 kids, then we got to 50 kids, and then we grew to 100 kids, and I was working in there, and then we got to 200 kids, and then by the time... About 20 years ago, my wife told me, she's the administrator, she said we hit 500, okay? So, but now the Chinatown Church is not so big, because, you know, people from overseas, they before they used to go to Chinatown, but they don't do that anymore. They go straight to, what, El Monte, Rosemead, yeah. So the population, so they dropped. They only have about 300 kids now, okay? But I remember going through the changes. And I remember having to make changes all the time. In fact, I went back to school to take early childhood education just to learn about these changes. And then so I'd like to share those things with you. Okay. Now, I'm assuming that you're all Sunday school teachers. Is that right? You're all Sunday school teachers? Okay. Are there any parents here who want to learn about discipline and that's why you're here? No? Okay, you're all teachers. Okay, great. Great. I read some place in the news that I was reading this magazine, this education magazine, and it says U.S. Department of Education says that new teachers, within 5 years, 50% of them quit teaching because of stress, mainly from discipline problems in the classroom. So, anyone here who's taught Sunday school more than 5 years? Three of you? Okay, that means the rest of you haven't reached 5 years yet? Okay, so maybe the Lord sent you to this class, huh? Okay, so I'm glad you're here, and I'm really impressed because you came on a Saturday. It's Saturday after lunch, and I assume you're here to learn, so I'm really impressed. But let's open in prayer, okay? Lord, I thank you for these teachers here. I thank you because they have a desire to serve you and to reach children, to make a difference in their lives. I thank you because they are here for training. And I pray, God, that during this session that you would teach us how to work with kids in a manner so that the kids will respond. I really believe that our kids, our stressed out kids, our over-educated kids, our kids who have so many expectations on them, and sometimes these our kids, they don't have a childhood anymore. But Lord, deep down, they're just kids. And I know that they're receptive. They're receptive to your word. They're receptive to your voice. And God, I pray that we'll be that voice on Sundays and that the kids will understand that when we speak to them about the Bible, when we speak to them about the Christian life, that it's your voice. God, I pray that you be with us today so that we can sharpen our skills because, you know, Lord, we need training. All of us, no matter how young or how old, when we have training, then we feel that we can do things for you. I remember in the beginning of my career, I was totally lost when it came to how to handle some of these kids. And I pray that these teachers here will not have that feeling, but they'll have the joy of teaching, the joy of serving, because they know how to handle kids. So I pray for that. Thank you for this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so what this class is, there's two parts. Okay, so when you look in your worksheet here, we're going to do this part first, and then we'll take maybe a short break or something, and a question and answer, and then we'll do this part. This part here is discipline. Okay, I'm going to go over with you the do's and the don'ts of discipline, and then also important parts of here are teacher talk. Now, I think a lot of issues with discipline is because you want to discipline a child, but you don't have the right language. Okay. Now, teachers, the successful teachers in public schools, they all talk kind of the same way. They have certain words they use, certain phrases. So we can learn those. The kids, they've heard you say this phrase before. They've heard it from the regular teachers. So they know that, oh, you want me to be disciplined. Okay, so that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to teach you teacher talk. Okay? So once you get that down, your job is so much easier. So if there's a child who's misbehaving, you go up to him, you talk to the kid, and he listens to you, and he listens to what you say and how you say it, and the words you use, the phrases that you use, he goes, wow, this is what my teacher at school. Okay. You see? So that's part of it, the language. Okay. And then part two, I'm going to teach you some classroom tips. Now, discipline, there's a secret to it. It's a total system. You have to do a lot of little things to get a well-disciplined environment. A lot of little things. And I'm probably going to give you maybe about 20 tips. If you can do half of them, if you can only do half, that really, really helps. If you can try to do all of them, you're going to be really successful. Okay? So these are little things about classroom management, how to set up your class, even how to place kids in the class, little things like that. Okay? So we'll start off with this one, discipline do's and don'ts. Okay? Now, I don't mind if you stop me if you have questions. Okay? I'm used to it. Okay? So let's go over the do's and don'ts. So first one, the do's. Do these things. Do smile a lot and be relaxed. If a teacher is high-strung and uptight, the kids will be hyper and they will act up. Okay, so I always watch the teachers, and some teachers are really strung out. They're really hyper. Okay, and I would tell the teachers, relax, smile. Okay? Take it easy, because when you're nervous like that, the kids can get excited. Calm down, okay? So teachers, if you've been teaching for a while, but my wife is that way. My wife is very type A. Okay, type A, you know. So sometimes, you know, when she gets really good, and then like there's a lot of kids, or a lot of things are happening, I say, take a break, okay? Sit down, okay? Calm down, okay? So if you're that type of a person, you've got to remember, the more excited the kids are going to be. Okay? And when the kids are excited, sometimes that's when discipline problems come. Okay, number two, do learn the children's names. Many kids will think you don't care about them if you don't bother to remember their names. Do have name tags for the kids and teachers. Okay? Now, I always like name tags for the kids and the teachers. Even if you have a small church, even if you only have 10 kids, you say, why do I need name tags for the teachers? We all know the teachers, only two of them, okay? But the thing is, you have visitors, you have new parents, they want to know who you are. They don't know who you are. You're taking care of my child, at least I got to know your name, right? Okay? So you should always wear name tags, okay? And also you give the impression that, oh, this place, they're organized. Yeah, so you know, it's good to have name tags. Okay. Now the kids don't like wearing name tags. Okay. So you have to tell them, no, you keep that name tag on. Okay. So, and then they say, why do I need the name tag? I said, very simple, because when the big tidal wave comes and the earthquake comes, you know, the kids are all over the place. We have to go look for you, and I want to make sure that, well, the people who are looking for you know your name. Okay? So, you just keep it on, okay? Yeah. Okay. Number three, do have a good curriculum. The newer ones have lots of visuals, music, and support activities to keep the kids interested. You know, our kids, they go to very good schools, and they're engaged. They're very stimulated. Okay, so when they come to Sunday school, you know, you've gotta have a curriculum that engages their minds. Okay, the worst thing you can hear of two kids say, that's boring, okay? And I have to say it, but sometimes when I go to churches, it is boring. So you don't want that, okay? Pick a good curriculum. There's a lot of them that come out now, okay? I work among Southern Baptist churches. There's one now that's Gospel Project, and it's good because the visuals are good. And the teacher gives it. How many of you go to BSF? Go to BSF, anybody? Bible Study Fellowship. Oh, you do? Okay, Bible Fellowship has a very interesting way of teaching. You learn the lesson three ways, three times differently. By the third time, you've got it, okay? So this Gospel Project does the same way. They even put on a little videotape. So you teach the lesson, they give you a lot of stuff, and then they have a videotape, and then they have the music, you sing the words, then they have the memory verse that goes along with the lesson. So look for a good curriculum that incorporates all those different things now. Okay, and they're coming out of a lot of them. It doesn't have to be the Gospel Project, but there's a lot of them. Especially look for the videotapes. Because teachers, you give a lesson out of the Bible, okay, you have some pictures, and then they see the video after that. The videos are usually short, maybe 7 or 8 minutes. And then they see it twice, and then they get it, okay? But I don't like it when teachers only show the video, okay? I don't like it because God's Word has life and power. Videos do not have life and power. Only the teacher does. If you can tell a story, and it comes out of you, and you believe that story, then the kids pick that up. Okay, you can't get that from a video. Okay, a lot of churches now, they don't have enough teachers, so they show a video. But I think there's something wrong with that. Okay, I always like the teacher to teach it, because the teacher believes in the Bible and God's Word, then the kids see that. Kids are very intuitive. They know. Okay. Okay, number four. Do be well prepared. Have your Bible lesson and activities well planned during the week. Okay, a lot of teachers, they don't really plan very well. They don't really have what they're going to be doing down pat. And so when they come to class, it kind of shows. You know, they have to think about what they're going to do next. Okay, that doesn't work. The kids are sharper than that. Okay, they're not going to wait for you. Okay. Set the room up early before the kids arrive. Kids can go wild if they sense the teachers do not know what they are doing. Okay. Also have rainy day activities ready. There are some days when your lesson is not going to work. There are some days when the kids are wild. Okay. Maybe it's raining. Maybe the wind is blowing hard. Okay. Some days you have you have two or three rainy day activities. Okay. So the standby. They said, oh, okay. So little preschoolers, okay, Play-Doh is a good standby activity, right? That calms you down. Okay. Older kids, okay, I'll pull this out, we'll have a treasure hunt. Okay, I have one ready. And we'll so you always have standby activities. Okay. Does that ever happen to you? Once in a while, nothing works. Or the electricity goes down, there's no power in the building, and you just have to do something. Okay. Teachers are always prepared. Okay. Five, do set up the class for learning. Preschoolers should face the teacher for the story. Now, sometimes you like to have circle time for singing in preschool, right? But when you give the story, you really want them to face you. Okay? Okay. Preschoolers should sit in chairs instead of rugs. Unless you're a professional teacher and you're really good and you can control the kids sitting on a rug, it's. I think you're asking for trouble if they're preschoolers, right? It's better to have them in chairs. Okay, you can do it if you're a really good teacher, but it's hard. C, for the lesson, kids should face a teacher who stands against an uncluttered wall. Okay, now, if I were teaching a Sunday school lesson, I wouldn't want all this up here. It's too cluttered. And the kids could be looking, and they'll probably be looking at this guy more than me. Okay? So, you know, some teachers like to really decorate the rooms, but when it comes to the lesson, you know, keep it kind of plain, okay? Elementary school kids should face the teacher for the lesson. Okay, now sometimes kids are sitting in a circle or maybe around some tables at the elementary school, okay? Now, if you sit in a circle or around, you're inviting discussion. Okay, that's good for discussion, but for the lesson, I like it this way. You're all facing me. Okay. E, use kid-sized chairs and tables if possible. F, if possible, use a projector with PowerPoint. Laptops with a story are good in small classes. If you have a small class, use a laptop. Kids love it. They just, anything on a laptop. Okay? So, later on, I will tell you, in the second part, where to get good visuals. FreeBibleImages.com is one of them. Okay? That's in your second sheet here. You don't have to write it down. We'll get to it. There's another one for toddlers and preschoolers. It's a little lambsong.com. Okay? Okay. Now, the advantage of having visuals is kids are so visually oriented. If you're just lecturing, if you're just telling the story, they can't get it anymore. Okay? They need visuals. Okay. Okay. Okay, number six, more do's. Do stop misbehavior in its early stages. By waiting too long and allowing the misbehavior to get out of control, it will be much more difficult to handle. Misbehavior that goes on for many weeks will be very difficult to change. So sometimes teachers, you know, you see some misbehavior. You see two kids who are talking too much during the Bible study, the Bible story, okay? And you kind of let it go. But you got to watch it. If it happens the second week, the third week, the fourth week, the fifth week, you've given permission, really. So as long as you see something, you got to stop it right away, okay, before the child thinks that it's a green light, okay? You're allowing it to happen, okay? If you see kids running around inside your big room, okay, you know, and then you say to them, I don't want you running around. Okay, you need to run around outside, but not inside, okay? And then later on, you keep running. Well, isn't it awful? That's part of our job, right? Sometimes you have to do it 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, but you have to keep doing it, right? It wears you out, it really does. But you got to do it, because if you don't do it, then it's really going to be hard to do later on. Okay, so sometimes we get lazy, or we just don't want to handle it. Okay, I've been through that too. I know, you know, like I really don't want to do this, but you gotta do it whenever you see misbehavior. Okay, I think that's the hard part of teaching. I think you all enjoy kids, but I know, like I don't like always trying to correct behavior, but it seems like that's what I always do in class. You feel that way sometimes? Yeah. Okay. Number seven. Do explain what behavior you expect whenever you start each activity. Tell your kids what they will be doing and how you want them to behave while doing it. At the end of the activity, stop the class for a moment and tell them if they behave well or could use improvement. Now, this is a teacher trick to keep discipline. The teacher will say, okay, kids, now we're going to have the story. I like you to listen. I want you to put all the things on the floor. I want you to sit up straight, okay? No talking during the Bible lesson, because God speaks to us. And how in the world are you going to, how are you in the world can you listen to God if you're messing around? Okay? So I like to do that. Now, kids, if you need to go to the restroom, okay, you've got to go now before I start the story. Okay? I'm going to pass these things out for you. Okay, so, and during the story time, I want you to be on your best behavior and open up your mind. That's how I want you to look. I want you to think, what is God telling me today? Okay, so that is a behavioral expectation. You are teaching kids what you expect from them. Okay, now, this is very strange, because, you know, all kids will tell you, you know, my parents, other people, they never tell me what they expect from me. They only tell me what they don't expect from me. Right? They always tell me what not to do, but they never tell me what to do. Okay? Now, smart parents, okay, smart parents, the good parents, they always give behavioral expectations. They say, okay, now we're going to a Chinese banquet. It's going to be 3 hours long. You can bring three things to play with. If you want, you can take two walks. I will take you, when you get tired, I'll take you on a walk. You cannot play with the chopsticks and the knives and forks. You cannot play that. You cannot, you have to be quiet during the banquet, okay? You can only play with your things, and again, two walks. Got it? That's a behavioral expectation, okay? Or you're getting on an airplane. We're going to Taiwan. It's a long trip. If you need to go to the restroom, you let me know. I'll take you to the restroom. But you can do this. You can play on your iPad. You can listen to on your headphones. You can read books, and I have. You can pick three toys to take with you on the plane. But you have to stay in your seat, and you have to wear the seatbelt. And then when we get to Taiwan, unless you jump up and down. Okay? So behavioral expectations. Okay? So a teacher does that in class. Okay, now kids, we're going out to refreshments. This is how I want you to do it. We're going to walk out the main door, and we're going to go out to the patio area. But I want you to be quiet because there's other classes here. No shouting. Got it, kids? That's how I expect you to behave. So in other words, if you want kids to behave, you've got to tell them how you want them to behave. Okay? See? So before every activity, and at the end of every activity, once in a while, you give them compliments. Say, hey, kids, I like the way you listened to the story today. It tells me that you're thinking. Okay? Some of you, at the end, you got a little antsy, but I appreciate the fact that you tried. Okay? So let's try a little harder. Some of you boys, try a little harder next time to finish the story. But you did very well. Okay? Give yourself a pat on the back. Yeah, pretty good. Give yourself a hug. Okay? Yeah, give yourself some kisses. You did very well, kids. Yeah, you did very well today. Okay, so in other words, you give behavioral expectations, how you want them to act, and then you compliment them or you criticize them afterwards. Kids, that was not good. Okay? We had a guest speaker, and I'm ashamed of you. You guys were, you know, what is this guest speaker thing? I was a teacher. I cannot handle this class. I don't know how to teach you guys behavior. Boy, I'm a failure. Okay, so you tell the kids whether they acted well or not. Okay, parents, you do that with your kids, right? Yeah, you always, whenever you do something, you always tell them how you want them to act, and then after a while, they know how to act. Okay, you ever hear these kids say, "That's not fair." Whenever I do something bad, my parents always get mad at me, but you know. It's not fair. You don't tell them how you want them to act. You just tell them how you don't want them to act. That's not fair, right? Okay. Okay, now we're going to go, we're on number 8. Teacher talk. But let's come back to that part and let's do the don'ts. Let's move on the back. Okay, we'll come back to the teacher talk. The don'ts. Don't do these. Okay. 1, do not be a career, part-time, and on-the-rotation teacher. Okay, a lot of churches, they sign teachers up for maybe a month or maybe a 3-month rotation, but this is what happens. Kids learn about God's love through their teachers. Rotational teachers showed that their love for the kids is not full-time, and maybe that God's love for them is not full-time either. Also, kids do not bond with substitute teachers and often become discipline problems when their real teacher is away. Okay? I think all of us, we've been through the American school system. Do you remember when you had substitute teachers? The kids go crazy. You have discipline problems. And why is that? It's because they're not your real teachers. Okay? See, kids bond with their real teachers, and the teacher is a shepherd. You know, the teacher is a little pastor of that class. See? And, you know, you say, well, you know, God's love is wonderful. It's full time. But what if you're only there part time? What kind of message are you sending to your kids? The kid's going to think, well, yeah, God's love is full time, but my teacher only loves me part time. Okay? So, you know, at the first church, the LA church, some teachers come up to me and they say, well, we like to serve and I like to serve on, you know, maybe a quarter out of the year. And I say, no. No. Okay. All 100 teachers at that church are full time. That means every Sunday. Okay? And that's why the kids are better behaved. Okay? Rotational teachers, wow, the kids, I mean, you're setting yourself up for discipline problems. Okay? And I really think that the kids are getting cheated too. The kids are cheated because they don't get to know a real shepherd. Okay? A full-time shepherd. Okay? So I know a lot of churches do that. They have rotational teachers. Okay? Now, rotational teachers may be okay for the helpers. Okay? But if you're a main teacher, if you give the lesson, and if you're the shepherd of the class, really, I encourage you to be there full-time. Okay? Every week. Yeah, Christina?
However, some teachers may also want to attend worship.
Yeah,
fine. So how long the duration of
quote-unquote
full-time is appropriate?
Oh, okay. That is a tough one. Some churches, they only have one session.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. How about every other year? Will that work? Okay.
A full year.
Yeah. Yeah, every other year? Yeah, huh?
Would you have the teachers teaching like 52 weeks, or like do they like the helpers become the teacher and the teacher is with the kids full time?
Yeah. I know that I started this giving our teachers 2 months off in the summer. Okay? And then now quite a few churches, Evergreen, the two Evergreen churches, they do that. They give their kids, their teachers, 2 months off in the summer. So what happens is, I get the pastors to teach, okay? So some of our pastors are, they're not very good children's teachers, but, you know, it's good for them, right? It's good for them to try. Yeah. Okay, it's a good experience, right? And then I get some other people to teach, the deacons to teach, okay? Yeah, so we give the teachers a break. So that if they teach 10 months out of the year, I'm really happy. Okay? And once in a while, maybe once every quarter or something like that, we'll have total group. If we can get a big space. Total group teaching, okay, so it's either I would do it or one of the more experienced teachers, and then we give the teachers a break. Okay? Like Mother's Day, I think we always do that. Give the moms a break. Things like that. Okay. I know it's hard. And a lot of teachers say it's hard to be with the kids all year round. Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. But I'm hoping that once you learn these skills, then you'll enjoy it. Okay? So there comes a point where once you're really good at something, it's no longer work. Right? Isn't that true of anything? If you develop something, there's a lot of work. It's like swimming. You learn how to swim in the beginning, it's work. But after a while, after you learn how to do it, then it's enjoyable, right? Teaching's the same way. Once you learn the skills and you have an experience, and, you know, then it becomes really enjoyable. You have to get through that first, okay? You have to make it through 5 years first. Okay. Okay, number two. Do not use the lecture method all the time. Older kids enjoy a variety of learning methods. A good curriculum will have suggestions. Okay. So even in public schools now, they really try to mix it up. The teacher really rarely talks now. So some creative Bible Sunday schools, they, you know, even the kids can do their own PowerPoint, believe it or not. Teach them where to go get it. Okay. FreeBibleImages.com. They say, okay, you download the story, And also, when you download freebiblestories.com, there is a planner. That means that each slide is explained what the story is. So kids, you know what each slide is. You can tell the story, and it tells you where to get it in the Bible. You can read it in the Bible for yourself. And then why don't you teach it? So fifth graders can teach a story. Yeah. Third grade kids, the last I heard, third grade kids have to do a PowerPoint presentation. Okay? They have to put it together or do some research and put it together for the class and do a teamwork. Okay? So the kids are very sophisticated. They can do drama. They can read a story and they can write out their own script. Okay? There's a lot of things that kids can do now. Okay? So if you're used to just telling the story and teaching it like, you know, lecturing, that, you know, kids are a lot more creative now. Okay? So if you need help, you know, what we do too is that we have a lot of high schoolers come in, and the high schoolers like to do all that stuff too. So we have a lot of older teachers at our church. A lot of teachers are 50 years old. We bring in the high schoolers and let them work with the kids with the story too, okay? So for your older teachers, if you don't like to, you're used to just telling the story and you're not that creative, get some younger people into your class, okay? Okay, number three, I think this is a biggie. Do not make the kids wait for things to start. Some kids are impatient and will get in trouble. Plan for smooth and quick startups. If possible, avoid making kids wait in line. Being prepared and organized will eliminate much of these discipline problems. Okay, so at the church I work with, I told the teachers, no waiting in line. It's forbidden. No waiting in line. We don't make kids wait in line. You plan activities from one place to another and have it pre-planned. Okay? And then the kids just move from one place to the other. They don't wait in line. Okay? So if you can plan that way and if you have enough help, that's the best way. Okay? No lines. Okay? Or waiting. No waiting. I see a lot of churches, the kids come in the morning and they have to wait until class starts. So what do? They start playing, right? And then what happens? Playing gets kind of rough sometimes. You have discipline problems, right? So have a pre-activity, right? You always have things for the kids to do, okay? No waiting, okay? Okay, number four, do not discipline a child by corporal punishment or performing an athletic task. Sometimes guy teachers do that. I don't think the women teachers do that, you know. The kids are misbehaving, two boys like, hey, give me 20 push-ups. You know, but you don't do that, okay? The reason you don't do that is kids are out of shape now. You know, and just think, if a kid has a seizure or something, you know, wow. You know, the lawyer's going to say, is that part of the Sunday school curriculum? You know, they're going to sue you big, right? So you got to watch it. Don't do those things. Do not get angry or yell at a child. Practice saying, I skipped one. Number five, do not use the word punishment or somebody punished. Oh, I left the H out. Use the word consequence or penalty instead, okay? So we never punish a kid because the word punishment is a loaded word. It usually draws images of something that, you know, swatting or spanking, okay? Use the word consequences or penalties. It's perfectly good to say to the kid, okay, we have rules here. You broke a rule. Now there are consequences. Now there's a penalty. Okay, we'll talk about rules in the second part. Number six, do not yell. Do not get angry or yell at a kid. Okay, practice saying you need to. Okay, that's when we talk about teacher talk, we use that. You need to. I don't know why, but there's power in those three words. You need to sit down and be quiet. You need to pay attention. You need to, okay? So I think maybe it's because kids hear that from the regular teachers, and when the regular teachers say it, I don't know if you've ever been in a classroom, but some of the nicest teachers, they use a teacher voice, and they have body language. You need to sit down. Okay? Yeah, sometimes it's scary. You know, these beautiful, wonderful, you know, teachers. You need to sit down. Okay? So there's something about that, those three words, okay? So you use them in elementary school, okay? Preschool, you use it. We'll practice using those words. A little soft, not that hard. You scare the kid. And it doesn't work in youth. By the time the kid gets into middle school, it doesn't work, okay? And you never use it on your husband and your wife, okay? Okay. Number seven, do not use threats, okay? I don't want to go into that now, but that's a big thing about Chinese. Well, no. Threatening, when you threaten a kid, you're saying, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to do this. Okay? If you don't stop this, then I'm going to do this. Okay? Now, the thing is, the kid is listening to you, and you're saying, if I do this, then I'll do this. You know, some kids will challenge you. You know, some of these kids, they want to see what you're going to do. They're not afraid of you. You know? So you're asking for trouble for some kids. Okay? You know, so you have to learn how to discipline without saying that. If you don't be quiet, you know, no more recreation. Okay? That's a threat. If you, and then. That clause, that's a threat. And some kids, they love the challenge. Okay? So you can't use those words. Okay? There's better ways. Okay. Eight, do not let kids go to the restroom automatically. Kids, you know, sometimes they just want to get out of the thing, you know? So don't they always ask you that? Yeah, can I go to the restroom? You just say no. Say, can you wait until the lesson's over? Can you wait until the craft time is over? Okay? You say, wait until the break. Okay? But don't go during class. And then, now if the kid really does have to go, the kid will tell you. Okay? Or you can tell by his body language, right? You know, especially the toddlers, the little ones, okay? So, but and a lot of kids, they're kind of like, maybe the word testing is too strong of a word, but they kind of want to see your reaction, okay? So sometimes it's just say no. Can you wait? Okay? So you're in control, right? They're not in control. You're in control. You say no. Can you wait? Can you wait just a little bit? 5 more minutes? Okay. Number nine, do not handle difficult children alone. Meet with your other teachers to share observations and suggestions on how to handle difficult children. While all teachers need to be consistent on how they interact with all the children, it is especially important to handle difficult children the same way. Okay, so if you have kids that give you, you know, it's like there's some kids that just usually they're high attention kids. They need attention, right? And then that's the way it is. And the parents don't give them enough attention. The teacher at school is not going to give them attention. You know. So maybe the Sunday school teacher, you know, the Sunday school teacher, she's nice. She's a shepherd. Maybe she'll give me attention. Okay. Well, it's good to give the kid some attention. Yeah. But not during the middle of when you're teaching a lesson. Okay. A kid's acting up. Okay. So, you know. You have to have, when you have a kid that needs some help with their misbehavior, you've got to have other teachers help you too. You all got to be in the same plan, okay? So if you're teaching alone, it's really hard, okay? If you're doing it all by yourself, you're not going to last, okay? You need to get, don't you have teachers' meetings with other teachers to discuss how you're going to handle certain kids? Say, okay, this kid is always going to go to the bathroom, and then we're always going to say no, because we know now that the kid doesn't really have to go. So you discuss things, right? Okay. How you handle kids. Okay. Don't do it alone. The more people involved is better. Okay. Do you have teachers' meetings? Yeah, you should, yeah. Okay. Okay, do not handle a hostile child to remain with the other children. A child with hostility or aggression is one who intentionally harms a person or property. You know, graffiti. Graffiti now is classified as an aggressive act. Okay? You find a child, you know, doing graffiti. Not writing on the black on the board. That's really not graffiti. But maybe they have a marker and they're doing it on the chair or something like that, or on the floor. Okay, that is now considered by the child psychologist an aggressive act. What you do is you immediately separate the child from the others, remove the child, and have someone locate the parent for pickup. The teacher writes a report on what behavior was observed and gives a copy to the parent, the children's leader, and the pastors. Now, hostile children. We do have kids who have anger. They come in, okay? And while you're in the class, you know, you want to help them, but they're going to hurt another kid, or they're going to destroy property, or they, you know, a lot of times these kids, I've seen kids do this with the parents. They spit at the parents, they kick at the parents. I've seen it all, okay? That's anger, okay? You can't allow that to happen. Now, during your class, they're out of the class. You have to take them out. Okay? You have to take them out. If a kid is really upset and angry, you have to separate the kid from the class. Now, I've had one time a kid is really angry and started throwing things in class and just sat down, and we tried to get him out, and he's a big kid. Okay? He's a fifth grader. So I called some brothers to come in. We couldn't lift him up. So we have to separate him. So what do? I say, class, everyone get up. We're going outside. So we lift him. So you separate. Okay. The idea is you got to let the kid know this is not right behavior. Okay. If you do this, you're going to be alone. We separate you. Okay. This is not healthy, and we're not going to be part of it. Okay. So you separate, even if you have to leave the kid there, move out. Okay. So I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's kind of scary sometimes. But you do have kids like that. Okay. Yeah, you do have kids like that. And then sometimes kids throw a tantrum. Same thing. Preschool, the kids. You know, sometimes kids don't have language yet in preschool or toddlers, so they throw a tantrum. Same thing, you know, they're angry. You know, you got to separate them. If they can't move out, you move the class out. Okay. And then, of course, when the kid calms down, you follow up, right? You talk to the kid. Okay, so those are some of the things that you don't do. Do and don't. Do these things help, Olivia? Okay, they help? Okay. Do you have any questions so far? Okay. Okay, so now we're going to do teacher talk. I'm going to teach you how to be a teacher. And once the kids hear your voice, all of a sudden, your discipline problems will melt away. Is that wonderful? Okay. Teacher talk, preschool. Okay, so how many of you do preschool? Oh, somebody? Okay. Let's do preschool first. Now, using positive language to teach good behavior. Now, this is something that you should be doing half the time in class. Okay? You walk around class and you see all these kids, and then you look for things that you can say positively about their behavior. So let's practice this, okay? Let's say these out loud. Teacher talk preschool, okay? And these are a little bit shorter than the elementary, okay? Let's try that. I like the way you wait so patiently. Okay, did you ever tell a kid that before? I like the way you wait so patiently. Okay. How about B? I like the way you put away the crayons. Okay. C, I like the way you clean up God's house. D, I like the way you're sitting still and getting ready for the Bible story. Okay. E, I like the way you raise your hand to ask a question. Okay, now, I think you get it. When you say all these things to kids, I like the way you do this. I like the way you do this. With the kid's interpretation, you're saying, I like you. I like you. I like you. I like you. That's his interpretation. You're saying, then that's not what you're saying. You're saying, I like the way you do this. I like the way you do this. But the kid hears, I like you. I like you. I like you. See the interpretation? Okay. So what you're doing is you're bonding with the kid. Okay. You're building up a relationship with the kid, and the kid loves it. He loves it when someone tells the child that he's doing something right, and someone recognizes him for doing something right. The child loves it. He feels affirmed. He feels the teacher's love. Okay. Now, how many kids only feel negative language from adults? How many, especially Chinese kids, really? How many kids say, and this is true, you ever talk to teenagers? You know, the teenagers go in the counseling and they say, my parents, whenever I do something right, or I think something is good, they never compliment. They don't even notice. But when I do something wrong or something they don't like, they yell at me all the time. You know how many Chinese kids are in counseling because of that? Yeah. So you've got to affirm the kid. You've got to tell them what they're doing right. And also, as a teacher, you're going around and you're giving little mini lessons. You're telling the rest of the class what you like. Okay, you want to eliminate discipline problems? Well, the kids have to know what you want, what you like. Okay, so teachers, especially preschool teachers, you know, you go. This is the best time because they absorb it. Preschoolers, they absorb everything. And then by the time they get into elementary, okay, the elementary teachers don't have to do it as much. But as long as the preschool teachers do it a lot, they get that. They get that affirmation, okay, that love, okay, and that teaching. They know how to behave at church because my preschool Sunday school teacher tells me 50 times a day how to act at church. Okay, got it? So you preschool teachers, you got to be talking all the time. Okay? So, yeah, if you're the silent type, you know, if you're the talkative type, wow, you know, you want to be in the preschool department. Okay, if you like talking, you know, at your church, there's got to be a lot of people who like to talk. Okay, tell them, what you do is you come to the children's, the preschool department, and all you do is you tell the kids what you like, what they're doing. Okay, got it? Okay, I like the way you raise your hand to ask a question. I like the way you say, thank you, you have good manners. Okay, I like the way you let Mary choose first. You have good manners. Okay, so work on these when you get home, okay? Okay, so that's what you do. You're teaching good behavior. Okay, you preschool teachers, the elementary level teachers, oh, they appreciate you so much because by the time they get the kids in elementary, they pretty much know how to act at church. Okay? Okay, so let's skip to the teacher talk. Elementary grades. Okay, it's basically the same thing. Teacher talk, elementary grades. Okay, let's do a few of these. Let's do the first three, okay? Ready? John, I like the way you're ready for worship. I'm sure God is pleased too. Mary, I like the way you clean up after yourself. You're very responsible. You know, the church that I'm working at now, those boys, they never clean up. You know? And so I asked one boy, I said, how can we never clean up? He goes, why should we? Our dads never clean up at all. Isn't it awful? So, you know, I feel like telling the Chinese moms, you know, you got to make your husbands clean up because the boys don't clean up. Yeah. Oh, anyway. Okay. So you can practice these in the elementary, okay? And you don't have to say these quite as much as the preschool teachers, all right? But if you see something good, you want to do it. You want to tell them. Okay, flip the page. Flip the page, and it's just for total group. Sometimes you want to tell the whole class things that they're doing right, okay? Okay, like, class, I like the way you all did your devotions last week. That's really great. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Okay? Class, I like the way you all put away your supplies without being told to do it. Everybody, give yourself a kiss. Give yourself a kiss and a big hug. Okay? So, sometimes you want to talk to the whole class. Okay? That helps with behavior. Or they misbehave, you tell them, class, you're much too noisy today. Okay, so I'd like you next week, calm down a little bit, okay, so we can get more things done. Okay, we come to church to listen and to learn God's Word. If you guys, I only see you guys once a week for lesson time. If you blow it, I mean, I spend all week, you know, trying to prepare a lesson for you because I really feel like, if you know, I teach you kids like my kids, okay? And I want you to learn something because I think it's really good for you. So if you don't want to learn, it hurts me, okay? So kids, come and listen next time. You guys were just too noisy this week. Okay? So you talk to the whole class. And it's good to do at the end of the period, end of time, before you go home, you have a word of prayer, right? Don't you do that with your kids? You pray for their school the coming week. You pray for their parents. You pray for the safety of the family. Okay? And then you give a little estimate. Okay, kids, I enjoy you having you today. I thought you really paid attention well. Okay? And I hope that you remember the lesson that we need to love each other and forgive each other. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Then you pray for them, right? You're the little pastor of that class. Okay? So it's good to wrap it up and review, and then also review behavior, how you felt they acted this day. Okay? Okay. Okay, now let's go on to this. This is the part where teacher taught, you have kids who misbehave, now you have to try to get them to stop that behavior and to behave, okay? So let's do that with teacher talk preschool. Redirecting misbehavior with a directive. The word directive is the same thing as a command. Okay, a directive is a command. You're telling the kid what to do. Okay, there can be no misinterpretation. Teachers, you never ask a kid to change their behavior. Will you please stop hitting people in class? You never say please, or you never plead with the kid if the kid is misbehaving. Okay? Yeah, you know, I cringe whenever I hear a parent say that. Johnny, please, I've asked you 1,000 times, please don't hit your little sister. Well, you asked her 1,000 times, you're giving a green light 1,000 times the way you ask. You don't, okay? So this is what you say. You say, you need to, okay? And you use a teacher's voice, okay? Your voice all of a sudden changes, okay? Yeah, you morph into a different type of creature. Your kid is looking at you, and all of a sudden, you're not the same person that normally your child sees you, okay? So all of a sudden, you need to, well, I'm a teacher now, you need to stop that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look me in the eye. No, look me in the eye. I want you to stop that. You need to stop that, okay? Can you talk that way? Sometimes you have to. You have to. Okay? And then the kids, okay, they know you love them, right? They know you love them. Okay? So it's okay to talk this way. Okay? I wouldn't do it to a new kid first time in his class. Scare the kid. Okay? The kid doesn't know. But you know, for your regular kids, they know you love them, right? Okay? So it's okay. Okay? So, and parents, I do parenting classes too. So I try to teach them, yeah, you got to do that. You can't say, please stop hitting my little girl, okay? No, you can't plead with them. You've got to just lay down the law. This is an order. This is bigger than the Ten Commandments, okay? You need to stop that. You need to stop that, okay? So, hey, why don't we do this? Get up and just try this. I want to see you put on your teacher face. Come on, stand up. Try this. And then use your pointer finger. This is, and when you're in class, you go like this for emphasis, okay? Just be careful. Don't hit the kid. You don't want to hit the kid. But do this, and let's go over a few of these to practice. Ready? A. You need to keep God's house clean. Okay, you understand, this kid is really messy, and you've asked him many times before, and you've even gone all around this kid and say, I like the way you clean up, Jane. I like the way you... Okay, this kid doesn't get it, okay? And you asked him before, Johnny, we want to keep God's house clean. So now now he needs a directive. He needs a command. This has gotten too far. Okay? So let's do that again. You need to keep God's house clean. Okay. Let's see. B. You need to line up quietly. Let's not bother the other classes. Okay. Now again, this, you don't say this all the time, okay? Yeah, you say this when a kid's misbehaving, and you have to stop the misbehavior, and you have to show that you're serious, okay? And usually, I say 99% of the time, the kids will stop the misbehavior if you come to this point. But you don't want to shout, okay? You don't want to scream. You're in control, but you need to have that firmness, okay? So what you do tonight, you go home, you stand in front of a mirror, okay, and you practice these, okay? You need to listen to the speaker. Now, when you begin to scare yourself, that's about right. That's just about right, okay? Okay, you can sit down. That's right. So practice these, okay? So practice these, and once you start doing it, you need to. I don't know why it works, but that phrase works with kids. Okay, try that. Okay, let's see. Okay, same thing with the elementary. Oh, it says with the elementary, it says it's changing misbehavior with the 5-to-1 rule. What is the 5-to-1 rule? It's on the back of the elementary page. You see this little thing here? Do you know what the 5-to-1 rule is? Anybody here in psychology? Oh, you know what it is. Okay, so if you're going to change someone's behavior, you have to, before you can tell them to change, you have to affirm them. You have to make them comfortable, and you have to make that person realize that you're with them, that you're pulling for them, okay? So you have to affirm them 5 times, a minimum anyway. I think really more, okay? I'll give you a story. Okay, this is how I learned the rule. I learned the rule is because I was taking a marital counseling class, and then my assignment was I had to sit in a marital counseling class, okay? So I went to the pastor, and I said, "Pastor, can I sit in the class?" And the couple said, "Okay." Okay, so this is a church setting, and the married couple was having problems. Okay, they weren't speaking to each other. So then we found out what was happening, and then the guy's a mechanic, and the wife got really upset because you know he doesn't shower enough, and he smells, and she's embarrassed, and she goes to church, and you know. Okay. So the pastor says, no, you're doing it wrong. You're nagging. Okay, it doesn't help. The more you nag, the more he clams up, the more he, you know, withdraws. Okay, you're making it worse. What you need to do is you need to affirm him 5 times. So during the next month, before the next counseling session, 5 things that you do that you appreciate about him. So the first thing he said is, "Well, I appreciate the fact that you're a good father. You know, you always go to the events at school, and you're a really good father. Second, I like the fact that you're a mechanic. You have a garage, but everyone knows that you're honest." You know, she says, I like that because you have a good reputation. Third is, "I like the fact that you serve at church because you're busy, you work 6 days a week, but you still, you know, you serve. And then I think that's really good." Okay, so she goes through 5, okay? And then they go back to the counseling session, and then the pastor says, "Okay, is there something that you want to ask your husband?" He goes, "Yes, I'd like you to take care of the body odor from sweating, you know, maybe bathe, more showers and deodorant, okay?" And then you know what he said? He said, "Okay." He said, "Okay," and then that was it. And then the was okay, you know? So what was it about it? He just, you know, I think he's going back to his childhood. "Mom always nags me. She never tells me what I'm doing right. She never affirms me, okay? Always trying to trick me without telling me that there are some things in life that I do well." You know, maybe he's doing that. You know, going back to his childhood, his mom used to work that way. Now his wife is working that way. Now she's nagging him. So, do you see the 5-to-1 rule? Okay. Kids, your disciplined kids, the kids who need challenge, try that. I bet they never heard that before, that someone actually finds good things in them. Okay? So, privately, you pull them aside and say, "You know, I noticed you did this. That's really good. I really enjoy watching you. You know, that's really good." Okay? So try that. You have a different relationship with the kid. And then you tell the kid, you know, you just You just irritate the kids because you say things that make people mad. Can you not do those things? And then the kid will listen to you. Okay? So try that. 5-to-1 rule. Yeah. And if you want your husband to change or something like that, try that. Okay. I got 10 minutes. Can we whip through some of these? These are classroom tips. Okay. Number one, have class rules. Now, I took pictures at different classes, and teachers, they let the kids say, what are some good rules? Give me 3 or 4 rules. We'll put it on the board. So these are the rules that the kids made up. Okay? This is elementary. I don't think preschool can do that yet. Right? Elementary. But, and then you put the class rules up. Okay? So if you have, each class can be different. It's okay. The kids like giving you rules. And usually elementary school kids, they know what rules are. Okay? Here's some more rules right here. These are different teachers, and they make these little things up, okay? Kind of cute. Okay. Okay. Now, if you have 50 or more kids, I think that's the next jump. Now you have a big church if you have 50 kids. Actually, you know, maybe 30 now. 30 kids, 30 to 50. How many of you have 30 more kids? You have 30? Oh, you do? Wow. Okay. So now, if you have 30 or 50 kids like that, then I'm assuming you have different classes, right? And then each class has class rules. Now you need what they call department rules. When all the classes get together at the beginning of the church year, which is what, August, okay, you go over the class rules, okay? These are how you want kids to behave. I have an example here. This is from the Arcadia Church. The children's director, Lynn, she did it this way. It's kind of interesting. These are children's rules. In your packet, there's also the children's rules from the big church that I used to teach at. There's rule guide. We call them guidelines. The rules are in English and Chinese because we want the parents to know the rules too. Okay, so that's in here. You see the guidelines, children's guidelines? Yeah. Now, the children's guidelines, the bigger your church is, the more rules you need to have, the more detail, okay? And the reason is because the teachers, the children, and the parents need to know exactly what you want out of the kids. Okay, so again, the bigger the church, the more detailed the rules have to be, okay? This is another example here. Okay, so these are department rules. You give it at the beginning of the church year, and you give it at the middle of the church year to refresh the kids' memory. Okay, so that then the kids know that you have rules. Okay, so they know, a lot of kids go to church, they don't know what a church is, they don't know how to behave. Okay, but as long as you teach them, then it's okay. And then when we have new kids, we have a newcomers class sometimes, you want to teach them the church rules. Okay. Parents' rules. The last page in here. Ooh, look at that. Parents have responsibility. Yeah, parents' rules. Yeah, you want the parents to know how to support the children's ministry. So the last page, parents' guidelines. Okay. Okay. You can make up your own. Okay. Do you ever have talks with the parents? Sometimes at the beginning of the year, it's good. You know, you want to introduce your teachers, and then you talk to the parents what they can do. Parents' rules, guidelines. That's good. Okay. You can buy these posters all over the Lakeshore or online Amazon. Posters on discipline. There's lots of them. You post them up, and then you go over with them with the kids. And when the kids see that, they get the idea that, oh, this is what the teachers want around here. They want discipline. It gives them a consciousness about discipline. Okay. Then it also helps if you post the activities for the kids. Okay. Every class, when they come in, you post the itinerary. The itinerary is what you're doing today. Okay. It kind of settles them down to know where they're going, what's going to happen next. Okay. You ever see the news on TV now? I noticed that. Like, you watch the 6 o'clock news or the 10 o'clock news. They do that now. They tell you what's coming up, right? Each segment, right? Maybe it's the way people process things now, but I think it helps. You know what's coming up, okay? And it gives you a sense that, oh, okay, teacher's organized, the teacher's taking me to a good place. Okay, so maybe you have less discipline problems. So I encourage you to put out a tenary. Okay, do you have greeters when you first come to church? A greeter? The greeter says, look, you know my name. You acknowledge me, I will behave better. So you get the friendliest person at church and you say, will you help me out in children's ministry? When the kid comes in, you just say hi to them and say, the kid has a name tag, it's easy. They don't have to remember all the names, right? So, hi Billy, how you doing, you know? And that helps really, because the kid goes through the whole period without his name being called, or he thinks that no one's paying attention to him. That's potentially a discipline problem there for certain kids. Okay, each week the teacher shepherd greets each child by name. Okay, when you have a class of kids, try to remember to say something to each kid by name. You acknowledge all of them. Okay, that's kind of hard sometimes, right? Yeah. Okay, separate goof-off friends. Okay, a lot of times kids, they get together and they won't listen to, you just have to separate them. Okay, if you have a lot of goofball friends, you might try something like here, like you're sitting here. I would maybe get place cards, and I would try to mix up the kids so they all sit together. Okay, and then you tell them, well, I'm doing this so that you get to know each other in the class a little better instead of with your friends. What you're really doing is you're trying to control the class, okay, discipline-wise. Okay, do give behavioral expectations. We went over that. Explain what you want from them. Okay. Do be prepared. Making kids wait creates discipline problems. Okay. The other week, I got this from an example from a teacher the other week. Wait here, kids. I left part of my lesson in the car. don't make the kids wait. Okay. Here we go. If you can use visuals in your stories, okay, it helps a lot. And what you do is, I like the visuals because when you're telling a story, it's so much easier to flash the picture up. This is Lam Song. They always have 8 visuals, 8 PowerPoints. And this for freebibleimages.com, usually about 10 pictures, 10 to 12 pictures like that. Okay, so it's so much easier to tell. So you flash the story, and then you talk about the picture, the story. Okay, so you don't have to, you don't get mixed up about the order of the story. You don't have to remember the story. So it's a lot easier. And then you talk about the story. So that's cool. And then the kids will remember because they remember the visuals. Yeah, okay. So use those. There are some other really good things, but you have to pay for them. So I put the freebies up. Okay? Yeah. I think that's it, right? Questions? Comments? Oh, we made it. Look. It's 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
This
is very useful. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering, is it okay for us to share with our teachers?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Is it okay if we share it electronically?
Yeah, okay. If you want, I'll send you the file.
Oh, okay.
Hey, give me your email and I'll send you the file. Oh, yeah. If you give me your email, I'll send you the file.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tolman. It's a gift from ABC, and we learn a lot of the technical way how to control our crazy kids in church.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, I'd just like to say that I'm a retired pastor. If you'd like me to come out to do some training sessions, I don't charge, because why should I? I'm retired, right? Okay, so I'd be glad to do workshops or whatever. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you send your email? I didn't see your information here.
Oh.
Yeah. This is a good resource. Yeah, if your church need a training, I know he's very happy to do it. So, this is his contact information.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Do you have any questions for him?
Is it okay?